Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Nelson Cruz is retiring from baseball at the age of 43, Tony. You ever think about retiring?
Tony Kornheiser, not really. I mean, what am I going to do? Spend more time at home? I mean, how much more can I spend?
That'd be hard, a little difficult for you to spend more time at any one of your homes. It'd be a little difficult.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere. Everybody knows that. I've stayed in for, 12, 15 years. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Big Ten coaches want Michigan punished. We will talk NFL and college football with Booger McFarland, and we will discuss the life and career of Bobby Knight. But we begin today with the Texas Rangers winning their 11th straight road game in these playoffs, and in so doing, winning the World Series by beating Arizona 5-0 last night. Texas won all three games in Arizona. This one was 0-0 through six innings. In fact, Arizona's Zach Gallen had a no-hitter into the seventh. Who do you think got the first hit? Yep, Corey Seager, MVP of the series. Wilbon, what are your thoughts on what Texas did and how they did it?
You know, Tony, I think my thought about Texas, when I look back on this, I don't know, next year or 3 years from now or 5 years from now, you start talking about World Series runs, it'll be the 11-0 on the road. It'll be collective. It won't be anything that happened necessarily in the Arizona series. And I get it. Corey Seager was great. I got that. But it's going to be the collective because nobody's done that. 11-0 on the road. That any 11's game stretch on the road winning would be like, what? That's impossible. And they do it in the postseason. So to go through Tampa like that, a 99-win team, Baltimore, and they swept Tampa and Baltimore. And Baltimore is a 101-win team. I know they won at least 100. And then to beat the defending champion Astros like that and to do it in Houston, it's the collective for me. And I know they played really well, obviously, at Arizona too. But that's a wow to beat that collection of teams as different as they are and to do it that convincingly in that style.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go to last night's game a little bit because the end result was nothing like I thought was going to happen in the early innings. Zach Gallen was cruising.
He was
Mike,
terrific.
Every time I looked up, another Texas hitter was hitting the ball on the ground right at an infielder. On the other hand, Eovaldi was struggling. In the first four innings, I believe this is true, that Arizona had two men in every single inning. And every single time Eovaldi got out of that situation, the fact that Arizona was 0-for-9 at the plate with runners in scoring position, you can't win that way. And I thought it was poetry that Seager got the first hit and scored the first run. And I thought the fact that Simeon as well did so well in the last two games, those were their two big free agent acquisitions. And sometimes money is wisely spent. And in this case, money was wisely spent. And the money spent on Bruce Bochy was wisely spent, Mike. This is four rings. And in the last 75 years, there's only three managers who have won in two different franchises. There's Bochy, there's La Russa, and there's Sparky Anderson. And Seager, do you want to hear the list of people who've been MVP twice in the World Series? It's a short list. Sandy Koufax, Bob Gibson, Reggie Jackson.
That's a list.
Corey Seager. You like
that's
the list?
That's a list.
It's a good list.
Great list.
Good list. Let's move on. Your conference, Wilbon, is in the news again.
Yeah.
According to an ESPN report, the Big Ten football coaches were on a conference call yesterday. After Jim Harbaugh left the call to allow the other coaches to speak freely, a majority of the coaches urged the Big Ten to discipline Michigan for what they believe is clear cheating with regard to illegally scouting future opponents to decode their signals. Do you think the conference will act?
I don't. I don't think the conference will act. I don't think the conference should act, at least not now, Tony. Not in the middle of a season, because the other coaches who are doing this anonymously, and I understand it was a call. It's not like they, you know, went forward and just sort of started a conversation. But here's the other thing, Tony. So we got two problems. One, no. They should not do this in the middle of a season. And two, do the other Big Ten coaches, just like any conference coaches, do they want discovery? Really? Do they want an investigation of their programs and what they've done fully? No, they don't. Let me answer that for them. They don't want that. So I'm not saying, I get it, he broke the rules. That seems pretty apparent. I'm not saying that the Big Ten can never do anything. But right now, in the middle of this season, Tony, no.
I agree with you. We have different reasoning for it, but I agree with you that the Big Ten is not going to do anything until after the season, if they do anything at all. And that's because if they come in and do something punitive right now, you hurt the chances of a conference team, Michigan, making the playoffs and winning the national championship. And there's too much money involved
with that,
for a conference like the Big Ten. And then if they do something punitive and Michigan beats Ohio State, then the Big Ten gets nobody in the playoffs. And that's cutting off your nose to spite your face. And I'll agree with you on something else. These coaches, I understand why they feel this way, but none of them have the guts to put their face or their name on any of these comments. They are simply stabbing Harbaugh in the back. Yeah. Although circumstantially, Mike, this is amazing. In the three seasons in which it is alleged that the infamous Connor Stallions went around and gathered information, Michigan's 33-3 overall, 22-1 in the Big Ten. The three previous years, 21-11 overall and 16-8 in the Big Ten. Now, maybe Harbaugh got great overnight, or maybe he's got the signals.
And Tony, maybe. Tony, I don't even dispute what the coaches are saying. All I'm saying is, are you sure you're not living in glass houses? Any of you?
Yeah, step
all
forward.
All of
step
you.
Step forward.
Really?
Step forward. Put your name on it. Yeah.
We'll finish this segment with the news, the sad news, that Hall of Fame basketball coach Bob Knight has passed away at the age of 83. Knight started his coaching career at Army, finished it at Texas Tech, but was a towering figure in between at Indiana, both famous and infamous, winning three titles over 29 years, including one with a 1976 team that went undefeated, the last team to go undefeated. Knight also led Team USA to Olympic gold in 1984. Tony, you got to know Bob Knight. How are you going to remember him and his career?
Okay, so the first thing I would tell you is great coach. Honestly, that would be the first thing that I would say. And for all the things that you have said, three national championships, the Olympic gold medal, and the last unbeaten team. And from one other thing, Mike, if you measure coaching by how your players then go on to do in the pros, he only had one player, Isaiah Thomas, who was ever an NBA All-Star, just one. He made something out of nothing better than anybody ever, as far as I am concerned. So great coach would be one, but a very close second, Mike, and I know you feel the same way, a very close second is I would mention his temper and I would mention his entitlement. We could do an hour-long highlight reel on his temper and his entitlement, throwing the chair, choking the kid, screaming at press conferences, getting so worked up during a game, yeah, that you thought his head would actually explode, time after time after time, insulting people unnecessarily. So you have to factor in the ego and the flaws, as well as the absolute coaching brilliance and the fact that he never cheated. Mike, I won't make him a villain, but I cannot simply make him a hero. I can't do it.
Tony, he's one of the most complex figures in American sports history of consequence. And I spent a lot of years, my whole life, trying to reconcile how I felt about Bob Knight. My friend Kenny Arnold grew up in Chicago on the South Side, and Bob Knight recruited him. He did not go to Indiana. He went to Iowa and played for Lute Olson. But when Kenny was diagnosed with a brain tumor, the person who set up a benefit dinner for Kenny Arnold to raise the money to pay for his hospital bills was Bob Knight. And so Bob Knight did things like choke people. There were things that Bob Knight did that I wanted to. I thought if I was a parent and that was my son, I would try and kill Bob Knight with my bare hands. And yet, Tony, like you said, a brilliant strategist, a brilliant coach on the right side for so long of major issues. And there are two people that I'm going to mention by name. And I texted them last night to offer condolences because in my hometown of Chicago, Bob Knight coasted Indiana. But his two most important players, I would argue, Quinn Buckner and Isaiah Thomas, came from Chicago. And they won national championships playing for him. And I would occasionally get the benefit of saying to them, hey, how am I supposed to feel about this person I know you are close to and I know loves the both of you? How do I reconcile this? And I had fascinating conversations over many years with Quinn and Isaiah, and to a lesser extent, Mike Woodson, who obviously played for him also. And I heard it last night. We know Bob Knight's been in bad health. I told you this last week. This is not going to be long. But he was somebody that I got to know as an older person more than I did as a sports writer and a younger person. And he's one of the fascinating figures, Tony, and there's no conclusion for me to draw other than he was complex and fascinating. And college basketball ain't going to be nearly is interesting and hasn't been without Bob Knight.
I'm sorry we ran out of time. I would have told you a great story about me and Bob Knight and being recruited and him grabbing my stomach and trying to kill me, but we have no time. Let's take a break. Coming up, the Dolphins and Chiefs kick off some compelling NFL matchups on Sunday. We will ask Booger McFarland which one intrigues him the most.
And we'll also ask him whether USC has a real chance to beat unbeaten Washington on Saturday. I guess it would be an upset. I don't know how USC can't be favored in that game at the Coliseum, but they're not.
They're not favored because the other team's better. That's why they're not favored.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Live generously, and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Crown Royal, part of Happy Hour.
Week 9 on the NFL schedule kicks off tonight, which makes it a perfect time to welcome back our great friend, ESPN NFL and college football analyst, Booger McFarland. I'm going to go to my glasses because this is a long question that I have to read. After a tough couple of weeks, we have some excellent NFL matchups on the calendar this weekend. You could, anyone could, consecutively watch the Dolphins and Chiefs in Germany, the Seahawks and Ravens, the Cowboys, Eagles, and conclude with the Bills and Bengals. Of those four good games, which is the one that intrigues you the most, Booger?
Well, I think it's a couple. First of all, I'm going to get up, grab me a nice cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, put my robe on, and I'm going to watch that Chiefs-Dolphins game early Sunday morning. Then I'm going to sit back and relax. And I think the game that really intrigues me, it's got to be that Cowboys and Eagles game. Like, it's a huge game. And for Dak Prescott, who I think has been a really, really good quarterback, I think in these standalone moments, in the past, he hasn't come up big. If you think about the game earlier this season against the San Francisco 49ers, he struggled a lot, guys. And I think a lot of people are thinking very, very bad things about Dak in big moments. Well, here's another game for Dak Prescott in a standalone moment, 425 at Philadelphia. He's got to be the reason they go out and play well and be the reason why they win. And I think this will be a huge way for Dak Prescott to shut up some of the naysayers.
Booger, let's look back for a moment at the trade and the trade deadline and the Commanders trading Chase Young to the Niners. The Buccaneers on a deadline day once traded you to the Colts. You wind up winning a Super Bowl. So is there any difficulty in transitioning from a team that's just blah to a real contender that winds up doing something all of a sudden? You're thanking your lucky stars because you're on a good team, but is there anything difficult about it?
Yeah, it's difficult. The first thing you got to do is get you a plane ticket and get the hell out of Dodge because you're going somewhere that's a lot better off than where you are. I left Tampa Bay, guys. I was 0-5. I went to Indy. I was 5-0. I couldn't get on AirTran fast enough. But for somebody like Chase Young, and he's got to understand this, is that they're trading for you for a reason. So you have to come in there, and whatever that reason is, you got to figure out what it is, especially on the field. He's going to a very good defensive line. Chris Kocurek, the defensive line coach, is outstanding. And so he's got to go in there and be willing to soak up the knowledge and be a sponge, but also understand They traded for you because they need something, and you got to be willing to give them what they need, especially on the field. Off the field, it takes a little while to get acclimated. When I went to Indy, guys, it was a shock for me. Y'all know Boog don't do cold weather. And so I go to Indianapolis and Tampa. Man, it was freezing. And the off the field affects the on the field because we got to live outside of what we do on the field. And so I think for Chase Young, he's got to go and get acclimated to the Bay Area off the field. That'll help him play better on the field and give the team what they need from him.
All right, glad you're wearing your LSU shirt today because we got a couple of college football questions for you as well. I have USC beating Washington. I don't care about the rankings, 20 for USC, 5 for Washington. I got USC winning that game, Booger. I'm not talking about that spread, which Tony gets, you know, obsessed with. I'm talking about the football game. You think I'm crazy for making that pick?
Have you seen that USC defense play, Mike?
I mean, wait, Booger. Booger, no, none of us have seen the USC defense because it doesn't exist. I'm expecting them maybe to rise up for one game if they have it in them.
Here's the thing I'll say. I don't think this is going to be a defensive battle. I think the one way USC can win is Caleb Williams has to return to being the Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy guy that we saw last year, and we've seen sometime this year. He's got to go out and be outstanding because we know on the other side, they're going to be able to put up a ton of points. They're going to score. We know how prolific that offense is from Washington. So I think if you're Caleb Williams, you got to say, you know what? My defense is not going to be able to make many stops. So every time I have the football, I got to go out and I got to score a ton of points. And they're very capable of that. And if you're Lincoln Riley, at some point, you got to stop the bleeding. Like, USC is struggling. Man, they're giving up a ton of points in the offense, and the losses are starting to pile up. If you're USC, you got to show up and you got to play your best game of the year. But it's got to be a shootout, Mike, because that USC defense is not very good.
He put up 50 last week, Caleb did. 50! And they win by one.
And so it was barely enough.
Barely enough.
Don't get him going because he'll tell you he's from Gonzaga. We don't want to have to hear
Gonzaga
that. We'll get you out of here on this quickly. Saturday night, number 8 Alabama at number 13 LSU. You have some familiarity with LSU or you wouldn't be wearing that shirt. LSU edged Alabama last year in overtime. In a quick answer, do you see the teams as being that even again this year?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be different ways. I think if you look at the LSU offense, it's explosive. The Alabama defense is really good. I don't think those two are going to decide the game. I think it's going to be the LSU defense that's really been much maligned all season against the Alabama offense. I think that battle will decide this game.
Thank you, Booger. It's always great to have you.
Anytime, guys.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Celtics do something they have not done in more than 60 years.
And how concerned should the Bucks be about their latest loss? 50. Caleb put up 50. Huh?
I got something wrong. That game is at Alabama. I said at LSU. I read my own notes wrong. It's at Alabama.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Live generously and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly. And in part by Freestyle Libre.
Happy time, people. Happy 25th birthday, Jordan Love. The Packers traded up to draft Love in the first round in 2020, while they had Aaron Rodgers still in his prime. Rodgers was so steamed at this, that he won two MVP awards in 2020 and 21. Lovett played at Utah State, where as a sophomore, he had 32 touchdowns and six interceptions and completed 64% of his passes. The hope in Green Bay was that he would make it a seamless line from Favre to Rodgers to Love. But in this, his first year as a starter, the Packers are 2-5. Love is completing 57.7% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and he is rated 28th among quarterbacks.
You've already given up. You've already moved on from Jordan Love in your mind, haven't you? You've already said, it's a wrap, he's got nothing.
Yeah, I have. Happy anniversary, Byron Leftwich. On this day 21 years ago, Leftwich's lineman at Marshall carried him to the line of scrimmage so he could continue to play on a broken shin in an attempt to rally the team in its eventual loss to Akron. Leftwich was the 7th overall pick in 2003 by Jacksonville, where he played 4 years, then 3 in Pittsburgh and 1 each in Atlanta and Tampa Bay, going 24-26 overall as a starter. Bruce Arians got Leftwich into coaching and eventually made him offensive coordinator at Tampa Bay. 1 year, with Tom Brady at quarterback, they won the Super Bowl. Leftwich's biggest booster is old teammate Ben Roethlisberger, who has publicly said that if Matt Canada loses his job as offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, here's a quote, "I'd love to see Byron Leftwich come in here and be the OC."
That's a pretty good endorsement, isn't it? You and I have been watching and following Byron Leftwich's career since he was in high school here in the DMV. Didn't we have him on as a guest when he was in college? The only guys I can think of off the top of my head who were guests on PTI as college athletes, Byron Leftwich and Steph Curry, is that the list? Is that it?
I think we had a couple of Dukies. I think we had a couple of Dukies as well, basketball players.
We'll get somebody on that.
Yeah. A melancholy trails to Walter Davis, the NBA Rookie of the Year in 1978 with the Phoenix Suns, died today of natural causes. He was 69. Davis was a terrific player for Dean Smith at North Carolina, playing with Phil Ford, Mitch Kupchak, John Kuster, and Bobby Jones over the course of his career in Chapel Hill. He was on the 1976 Olympic gold medal team that Smith coached. In the NBA, Davis played mostly for Phoenix, who retired his number 6. Davis averaged 20 points 6 different times, his high number being 24.2 in his rookie year. Davis was a 6-time All-Star, and he was the uncle of Carolina coach Hubert Davis.
Tony, he was so smooth and graceful on the court. And it just strikes me that if Walter Davis came along now, if he was 20 years old now, he would be even more prolific because the rules and the openness of the game would allow us to see more of him and it would allow him to do more things. And I fear that people like Walter Davis, players like that, are forgotten, and they shouldn't be. Walter Davis is a great player.
Very quickly to the big finish. Let's the Celtics put 155 on the Pacers last night. You coming around on them?
Tony, they've been the best team in the league so far. I am coming around slowly, though. Bucks lost to the Raptors by 19. You concerned about that loss?
82-game season. Stop it. College football tonight, Wake and Duke. Are you intrigued?
I am, Tony. Which small private should I be rooting for? Thursday night football,
Duke.
Titans at Steelers tonight. What do you expect?
I expect Will Levis to get a lot of attention from T.J. Watt. You know, they're going
to
key on him this one. Last one, two teams you love, Spurs and Suns tonight. Who you got?
I'm going to watch this game, Tony. The Suns went to sleep after going up by 20 on Phoenix the other night. This game is all on the Spurs. This game's also in Phoenix. I expect the Suns to be awake for the full game.
Not me. I'll be asleep.
You won't be.
We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Tony, see if you can watch Wimby for at least a quarter. Here's SportsCenter.